you would think by now that after a while, if you know Brian's going out of town, that you ought not answer the phone. But here I am again. It's been a couple of years, but I'm glad to be back doing this, actually. I'd like to start my sermon by reading one of my favorite parables that Jesus told. And it's one of my favorites for a lot of different reasons. So please join with me in hearing God's word. The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. About the third hour, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace, doing nothing. He told them, "You also go and work in my vineyard, and I'll pay you whatever is right." So they went. He went out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did the same thing. About the 11th hour, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, "Why have you been standing here all day doing nothing?" "Because no one has hired us," they answered. So he said to them, "Well, you also go and work in my vineyard." Now when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call all the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first." So the workers who were hired about the 11th hour came, and each received a denarius. So when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. "These workers who were hired last worked only 1 hour," they said, "and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day." But he answered one of them, "Friend, I am not being unfair to you. Didn't you agree to work for 1 denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the ones who were hired last the same as I gave to you. Don't I have that right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last. I don't know about you, but when I read this story time and time again, I'm always amazed at the radical love that the field owner shows his workers. It's a love that makes no sense in any ways that I see the world working today. I don't understand why the owner would pay all the same to the people, even if some have worked less than others. Even if they don't earn the same amount of hours or work the same amount of hours, they get the same pay, and that doesn't seem fair. So I ask you today how you feel when you hear this parable. If you're like me, you probably feel like the workers who showed up later are getting paid too much money. You may even feel like the owner is a fool for paying more than he should have had to pay. Maybe you feel like if you were the worker who had just spent the whole day out there, that you were getting cheated out of what was rightfully yours. Perhaps you'd feel indignant and demand that the others either get less or you get more. I know these are often my initial feelings when I read this story, and I constantly battle with who is right and who is wrong in this story and why things don't seem equitable. Well, I recently read a book that was written by Rob Bell, and I thought of this story a lot as I read this book. For those of you who may have read it or haven't read it, I recommend it. It's a book called Love Wins, and it was written by Rob, who's a pastor of Mars Hill Bible Church in Grand Rapids. And I've been a fan of Rob Bell's for quite a while. I've been showing the senior high youth group some videos that he makes that are kind of edgy and make you think deeply about faith. So Rob's concept that love wins is kind of spun around the concept that we may not understand how God's love works, that we may not understand when it comes to heaven and hell and who's in and who's out. We may not understand how God makes those decisions. So this book is actually pretty close to a number one bestseller right now. I know it reached number two. I'm not sure if it got to number one on the New York Times bestseller list. But it has also caused quite an uproar. If you were to Google Rob Bell, Love Wins, you'll see a whole list of people who have their own blogs and have voiced their own opinions about what this book means to them. Many believe that this is being too simple to assume that God loves, that there's no punishment, there's no hell, there's no heaven, which is not really what the book says, but it's just a way of creating some discussion, but it's turned into quite a debate. So his concept that God's love is ultimately more powerful than any that you have ever seen, that we may be surprised by how God's love works in the realm of heaven and hell, is a concept that many have a hard time with. So I've been asking myself, since reading this book, and actually for quite a while now, what it is about heaven that always concerns us. Why do we get so caught up trying to know who is in and who isn't? Why do we spend time and energy worrying about this, to the point that denominations would splinter, that fellow Christians would despise one another, get in arguments, all because we can't seem to agree on how God deals with his own kingdom? And I wonder how Jesus feels when we use our energy to debate these things about who's in and who's out, instead of following his simple commandment to love one another. To love God with all your heart and all your mind and all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Time and time again, Jesus refers to this kind of love as being the single most important commandment. To not get caught up in anything else, but simply to work on loving. So I must confess to you that I have long felt that getting into heaven was the main reason for my belief in God. From the time that I was a young boy and a teenager, that there's always a stress put on getting into heaven. Do these things to get into heaven. Say these things and you get into heaven. Pray this prayer and you get into heaven. To the point where, after a while, if you're not careful, all you think about is going to heaven. I felt like getting into heaven was the ultimate goal of life, and that should be all of our goals. Then I read the creation story once again recently in Genesis. I'll just read this real quick. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. God made this world. He made us. He created us. He set this world in motion, spinning with all of the people on it. And he loves this world. He loves this creation. He loves it so deeply that it's his whole focus was to get us to love each other. He sends Jesus later to show us how to love each other. Not to worry about what comes later, but to worry more about what comes right now. And so I've started to think about this, and I read this creation story. Then later I read where Jesus teaches us how to pray, and he says, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And it starts to reach into me and to dawn on me that maybe what we do with our lives right here and right now on this earth is of utmost importance. And if we were to concentrate more on that and less on what happens when we die, that this love, this world would be, through that love, a much better place. I believe that there's a very real battle to engage right here, right now, in this wonderful world that God created and placed us in. And I also believe that there's an endless supply of people who need to see a glimpse of God through the love that he's shown us. And they much less need a lecture about who's going to heaven and who isn't. It's my belief now that God is and always has been searching for partners in his quest to spread his love throughout the world. God loves us, sent us Son to show us how that love works, and desperately wants us to be overflowing with his contagious love. As I read Love Wins, it dawned on me that loving people would never turn anybody away from God. There'd be no one that would hear or see your love and say no thank you. So why is it? Because God loves this earth and everyone in it, and desperately longs for us to do the same, to show his love in every way possible, to dig deeper into your heart and find out why love can be so difficult sometimes. And I now believe that God puts us here on this earth to hone our love skill, to spend a lifetime learning to love each other. And often we end up spending time debating, arguing, fighting, killing. Debates that typically end up with all of us usually in the same place we started anyways. And so Jesus again reminds us of his greatest commandment with one simple word, love. It was 2 years ago that I preached about this very similar topic, and somebody, I won't name them, came up to me and said, I can't wait to hear part two of this sermon. So 2 years later, I can tell you that in my quest to learn how to love better, I still have a long battle and a long challenge in front of me. I've probably made more forward steps than backward steps, but I still have a lot of backward steps in me. So I'd like to read you real quickly from the book of Matthew, one more time, a reminder. So hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together, and one of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is just like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Something so simple that in an effort to trip Jesus up, he reverts back to the simplest concept ever, to love God and to love your neighbor. When I read this, I always wonder, why does he feel there's such an important emphasis on love? I mean, there's, after all, 630 commandments. How did this one rise to the top? And after many years of thinking about this and discussing it with others, I've come up with a couple concepts. The first being that if we were to truly love one another here and now, that God's will would be done here on earth as it is in heaven. And maybe that was God's plan all along. When we read the creation story again and think that God created this world, put us on it, and wanted us to love each other, maybe that was his whole plan, was to keep things going and spreading in a contagious fashion of love. God loves the world and all who are in it. There's nothing on this earth that God did not create, and there's nothing or no one on this earth that he does not deeply love. And I think this is why Jesus put such a lofty value on love. If the whole world were to be caught up in this love story with our Creator and each other, what would happen to war and poverty and hunger and hatred and racism and borders? Things that we always struggle and want to hold for our own would start to melt away. I think Jesus knows that all these areas of hell on earth would cease to exist when they're covered with love. Jesus knows that God loves this world so much that he refuses to give up on it, and he refuses to throw in the towel, and instead calls his followers to show his love through them, through our actions, through our words, through our lives. And I believe Jesus knows that God's love smothers evil, and evil is powerless against love, making God's love the ultimate weapon. So while the world fights with weapons, Jesus fights with love. And instead, when we hear this message, sometimes we still get caught up insisting on borders, dividing lines, pointing out who's right or wrong, chastising authors who suggest that God's love wins in the end. We battle over theology. We battle over who God finds favor with and who he doesn't. And so when I look at my own life, I find that I could get caught up pointing these things out to you and not look at my own failures. So I interestingly find out that I need to keep going back to Jesus and saying, I do want to love. I want to learn to love better. And as I'm reminded of this quest, and I ask God for help in this, I realize that God doesn't click a love switch for me to make it so that I can love everybody, but rather he puts opportunity after opportunity in front of me to see if I want practice learning to love better. I'm sure none of you struggle with these kinds of things, but in this very last week, I found myself falling short in the love department in many ways. I'll share some with you. In the last week, I have found myself raging about the following things. Waiting in line longer than I should have. Shooting a look at the cashier to hurry it up. Seething at a person who pulled into the left turn lane in front of me, cutting me off. Being rather blunt with the manager at a store who lost my driver's license. Complaining about waiting in line for an hour and a half for the Harry Potter movie. Thinking of all the time how I had a much better concept for how the crowds could have been handled. being short fused with my wife and my kids after a long hot day at work, avoiding praying for those who have hurt me, mainly because I just don't feel like doing it. And that's just a short list from the last week. If I thought long and hard, I could probably fill 3 or 4 more pages. So I'm not sure if any of you struggle with those kinds of things, but if you do, the point is Jesus knows all about that stuff. Always remember, Jesus walked on this earth. He dealt with all kinds of people every day. And at the end, after a brutal beating, the likes that we could never imagine, and even as soldiers drove nails through his hands and feet, his default was love, asking God to forgive them for they don't know what they do. Something tells me getting cut off in traffic wouldn't ruffle Jesus' feathers quite the way it does me. Certainly, his example of love is the benchmark for our lives. And though we may never live up to it, we have to keep at it. We can never stop trying to love one another, never stop forgiving, never stop putting others' needs in front of our own, never stop fighting for justice for those who can't fight, never stop including everyone in God's love story, never stop trying to love like Jesus loves us, wholly and sacrificially. I now realize after my couple years of trying this that I can't do this without Jesus. Without his help, I'm powerless. I can't love the way he wants me to. I know that I will probably spend the rest of my life learning to do this even better, and I would still have a lot left to learn when I leave this earth. So in closing, I'd like to invite a couple people up who have shown me great examples of love in my life to read some stuff from the Bible, some areas in the Bible where Jesus talks more about love.
In Romans 13, Paul tells us, love works no harm to his neighbor. In that same letter to the Romans, Paul tells us, owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loves another has fulfilled the law. In Galatians 5, Paul tells us, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. In Mark chapter 12, Jesus says, thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. In John chapter 15, Jesus said, these things I command you, that you love one another. And in the same chapter, he says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you.
In John 13, Jesus says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And later in John 13, Jesus says, by this all will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another.
Simple commandment, simple suggestion, very hard to do, and so I ask you to look inside your own hearts today and to find where are there ways and come to the Lord and say, Lord, I really struggle loving in this way, or I really struggle loving this person in that way. If you go to him and continue to ask him for help, at least in my experience, I find that you always will get opportunities to work on that love. And so it's to this Lord, our Savior Jesus, that I give all of my thoughts and my prayers today and all of my heart. And I thank him for showing me how to love, and I ask him for more opportunities in my life. And it's to this Lord that we give all of who we are today and forevermore. Amen.
We hope that you enjoyed this message. If you have questions or would like to know more about Geneva Presbyterian Church, please visit our website at genevachurch.org or call the church office at 734-459-0013.